Father, we thank you. Thank you because we have a fountain in Christ. Glory and praise be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshipped. Can I have a loud amen? Can I have a Gilgal amen? If you have started rebuilding your altar and you are getting ready for fire, can I have a great amen? Please kindly turn your Bibles with me if you can to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we will still read verse 30. I'm sure we'll just read verse 35. I think we should just stay in verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 18. In verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me, or unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And it was when the altar was repaired that wonders followed. It was when the altar was repaired that the wonders they've always been waiting for began to happen. Fire follows repaired altars. Nothing attracts fire like repaired altars. When your altar is repaired, fire is inevitable. If you doubt it, ask the apostles. In Acts chapter 2, chapter 1, the Bible said they gathered together and all the divisions amongst them. Who will be the greatest? Who was the smartest? Who was the dumbest? All of that argument was buried in Acts chapter 1. St. Peter's Anglican Church, with Apostle Paul, Pauline's movement, the John's emphases, all of that in one room were brought together. And when that altar was repaired and their hearts were fixed, Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, there came cloven tongues as of fire, and it rested on all of them. When our hearts are repaired, God doesn't have a problem with sending fire. But for as long as some of us are the Pauls and the Paulines, and some of us are the Peters, and some of us are the Johns, we are scattered bones in the valley. We need to come together. For as long as there is supremacy contest in the body of Christ, where those who go to this church believe that they are the custodians of the sacred truths of scriptures, and which puts them in a place up and above others, and the other ones believe that we know about the spirit more than those who know about faith, and those who know about faith we call ourselves faith movement, and then there is a group that calls themselves the prayer movement, and there is another one that calls themselves the holiness movement. For as long as we are movements apart, we will never be a body that will rise. I've been asking God, why is there no revival that people are praying for? Two things. The Lord said to me, is it possible that revival is happening but you don't know it because you have your own definition of revival? I'm going to say it again. I've been asking the Lord. I said, Lord, why is there no revival like people are asking? Oh, there is coming a mighty revival. And I asked a question in Florida. You were there, sir. I asked a question in Florida. Because everybody was talking about revival. And I stood there. And I asked all the people that were gathered. I called people individually, one after the other. I said, what is revival? And this one came and said, revival is the move of God. The other one said, revival is X and Y. Revival is X, Y. So not one person, not two individuals, gave a definition of the same revival that all of us were praying for. I said, no wonder it has not yet come. Because we are in the same room, praying for the same thing, but having different expectations. So is it possible that there is confusion about what we are waiting for, number two? Or have we become the modern day Jews who were expecting Jesus to come? He came, lived amongst them, died, and left. They were still looking for him. They are still looking for him. Is it possible that the move of God we are waiting for has already come? It's in our midst and we don't know about it because we have our own expectation of what revival looks like. It must be like W.J. Seymour's revival. If that revival was perfect, God would not have done away with it. Can I help some people here today? Can I say it to all the proponents? I keep hearing people saying, we are waiting for the revival of W.J. Seymour. And I said, if God wanted the revival of Seymour, it will not have passed. Why are you trying to revive Azusa that God is done with? I hear people saying, we want the Indonesian revival. If that covenant was perfect, God would not have done away with it. Our hearts are separated. Maybe I've gone too far. I should look too close. No church can ever rise to our true potential when our leaders are scattered. No church will ever see the fire of God, corporate fire, when leaders are suspicious of each other, when leaders compete with each other, when leaders have all kinds of sentiments about each other, and we can't see each other eyeball to eyeball. Leaders must be locked up in a room. Repairing the altar for wonders. Father, we ask for your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Please be seated for a moment. The altar is a place of fellowship and encounter. So when we talk about altar, we're not just talking about a physical expression in a place with some sacred libations poured on it, with some bloody animals caught upon it. Yes, that was what the altar looked like in the Old Testament. But on Calvary's mountain, the Son of God became the replacement for all the animals that were once sacrificed. He became the sacrifice, hence there was no more need for any other sacrifice after the order of that sacrifice to be sacrificed on an altar. So Calvary's mountain became the place where another altar was raised, and the most perfect altar was ever raised. So the altar is, yes, a physical location. But in this day and time in which we live, the altar has moved to the hearts of men. And every time we talk about altar, please, I'd like you to recognize that we're speaking about a place of fellowship, a place of encounter, a place of instruction, repentance, a place of revelation. An altar is a portal. An altar is a place where humanity has fellowship with divinity. Where mortal man fellowships with an immortal God. The word immortal is an understatement for our God. Because the Bible says immortality dwells in him, so he cannot be immortal. It is insulting to call God immortal, because immortality dwells in him. So when humanity and divinity meet in a place, when human beings and spirit beings meet in a place, that place is an altar. Follow me carefully today. The altar is a place of consecration. It's a place where we lay our all before God. It is a place of sacrifice, where ownership is rebellion and lordship is proven by submission. When you have an altar life, nothing is yours. All is his. The altar is a place of prayer. You can't say you have an altar life and prayer doesn't rise as an evening sacrifice. So the altar is a place of prayer. The altar is a place of power. Those who observe altar lives, they carry the power of the Most High God. So you hear, sir, in Acts of the Apostles, you will hear that at the third hour, at the ninth hour, at the 12th hour, you will hear they kept going to the place of prayer, right? That started in Acts chapter 2. And you found it running down to Acts chapter 16. Paul said, we were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. So meaning these people had hours of prayer, because they understood that destinies cannot be powered without prayer. And prayers cannot be offered without altars. And altars, simply speak, was a moment of fellowship and intimacy with God. One of the things that I really want to pass across tonight is the inconveniences involved in sustaining an altar. Sir, it takes inconveniences. It is inconveniencing to have a walking altar. Are you hearing me? It is inconveniencing to have a working altar. The reason is because altars are sustained through inconveniences. They are powered through offerings and sacrifices. Altars are sustained through inconveniences. And I will tell you what that means. In 1 Kings chapter 3, in verse 4b, the Bible says 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. 1,000 burnt offering Solomon offered on an altar. Talk about inconveniences. Talk about capturing one, killing, and then you go to the next, you kill. I mean, it's an all-day affair, killing 1,000 animals. But that was what was required to keep that altar alive. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says 3 times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. 3 times a year. I want the wisdom of Solomon. I want the wealth of Solomon. What that man did to keep it alive is what you are hearing. 3 times a year, sir, the man invested into that altar. I'm about to open your eyes, that's why I'm taking it coolly, and then we'll explode later. Having said all of that, sir, it is important for us to now let everybody know that in 2022, if you are going to see wonders like you've never seen, you will have to embrace the inconveniences of keeping your altars alive. you hear what I just said right now? You will embrace the inconveniences of keeping an altar life. I would have loved to give some of you the microphone because I know you can catch what I'm saying. Sir, to keep an altar alive will require that you stay awake. Lift your hands to the Father. Don't lead me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your hands to the Father. Glory be to God in the highest, amen. Glory be to God in the highest, amen. For his mercies endureth forever, amen. For his mercies endureth forever, amen. Glory be to my God in the highest, amen. Glory be to God in the Here's what I want to say to you. Just stay on that. Now, here's what I want to say to you. It takes a lot of inconveniences to keep an altar alive. Take it down. It takes a lot of work to keep an altar alive. Nights of prayer. You played for me yesterday. You played yesterday. Go ahead. Nights of prayer. Nights of sacrifice. You got to stay awake. Sometimes for your altar to be alive, you have to let go of food. Watch and see. Those whose altars will speak wonders this year. Go behind the scene and you will see sacrifice. The battle is won on the altar of sacrifice. Any altar that lacks sacrifice will not speak. Altars are powered by sacrifice. How long you raise an altar does not determine how much it will deliver. How much sacrifice it consumes is what that's what will determine the power it delivers. I'm going to say that again. The amount of sacrifice that your altar consumes will determine the power it delivers. I hope I can help you today. Christianity is not a wishful thinking. Don't play anything. Just sustain. Just stay anything. Good, my good to have you. Just sustain for me. Thank you, Lord. Please never forget this. How much power your altar will deliver is dependent. Let me speak a bloody language. How much blood it drinks. I hope you are ready to hear this day. I will push the envelope tomorrow. The reason why Calvary's altar still speaks is because of the kind of sacrifice that was made on that mountain. Never in the history of humanity has any altar received the kind of sacrifice that was offered on that day. That's why the altar still speaks, man. That's why when we call the name in the name of Jesus, that is why when we are administering deliverance, we don't even need to pray yet. The moment you begin to say, in the name of Jesus who died and was buried, we will not even finish when demons begin to say, let me go. What that altar consumed on that day, humanity has never see. The 1,000 burnt offering of Solomon cannot be compared with the perfect Son of the Living God. Altars that work consume sacrifice. I've been listening to men of God, sir, who are trying to find secrets, what makes them succeed. So, Pastor, sir, I got close to Bishop Oyedepo just to hear some of his secrets. And I hear he stays in God's presence for 18 hours, except on the days that he has work to do. That a greater 70% of his time is devoted to the Father's presence. How do you want to command such results when you spend 70% of your time with non-entities? You spend 70% of your time with useless issues. And you come and you stand on the altar and you echo the words of Bishop Oyedepo. My bones cannot be broken, your bones will be crushed. Because you are speaking on nothing. There's no sacrifice powering you up. I drew close to Bishop Abioye. I just wanted to know how daddy works. I said, is he a human being? Sir, I was so desperate to find answers that I had to call his PA in the night. I said, please, can you give me an idea of your schedule? And listen to what he said. He said, we resume office at 8. He said, we close at about 9. And we come back at about 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And we walk again until 5. He said, we go back to rest. And then we come back at about 6 for prayer. And then we are back to the office at 8. And I said to myself, huh? And you wonder why he commands such grace. All tasks that work are powered by sacrifice. Apostle Joshua Selman was in our house. We're sitting on the table just having breakfast. And we're asking some simple questions. I like to ask questions. Like I always tell my son, I say, my son David, I say, if you enter a room and you end up doing the talking and you learned nothing, I say, you are the greatest fool who ever entered that room. I say, because they ended up knowing all you know. You didn't get to know what they know. We're talking to Apostle Selman, and you've heard him say it. He said, those who win in the hours of the night. He has not been ashamed to tell you that he wins at the night. When pastors are asleep, snoring, he is digging it in the night. I got close to Dr. Paul and Etcher. We were together just few days ago or so. My wife and I were there, and then about a month ago, we were together. We sat down with him, and his wife was talking to us how she's begging him to rest. And I sat down there. He had told me, he said, Sam, I want to be seeing you in my meetings. I sat down there, sir. There's a place where men of God sit down. I said, no, it will make you to see well. So I sat where the ushers, throughout the meetings for all the days, I would sit. The ushers were like, sir, daddy will want you to sit. I said, no, let me sit where I can see. I didn't come to be man of God. Am I the guest speaker? And I sat down there. Little did I know that where I sat, Pastor Jemima too was in my front. That's to show you we came from the same lineage. And she is the closest. She lives in the same house with them. So that same day, they will go to the same house with Dr. Paul. So Mama will be texting her. Dr. Paul's wife will be texting her. Mama, Jemima, where are you? Where are you? She said, Mama, I'm in the hall. You're supposed to be behind me. Say, no, I don't come here to do show. I come learn. You want to see people's altars walk, you will see humility of heart. They can learn from anyone. And I sat down there, Pastor, I was watching. Because I know that I'm moving into this dimension in a greater way. And I saw people, the cripple being healed. I saw miracles happening. I said, now I get it. I see the miracles, but having met with them behind closed doors, I know the price that is paid. Otherwise, a young minister will go and learn the dance of Dr. Paul Eneche and think that is where miracles come from. Go and sew the long suit, thinking that's where the miracle comes from, but didn't hear what I heard. Every walking altar is walked. Every walking altar is walked. Pastor Paul Adefarasi put Dunsin on the spot and said, Dunsin, what is the secret of all the songs that you sing? Dunsin, sir, he didn't know what to say, but he was already on the spot. In summary, he says, sir, I spend time with him. I spend time with him. I'm sure some of you have seen that interview. I spend time. And a choir member will come. The only time you rehearse the song was when it was your turn to sing it. So the song has no impact on you. You have not lived in what you are singing. What qualifies you to sing a song that is not your life? You are not a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of infirmity. In actual fact, you are a liar on the stage. Because you are singing, oh, the blood of Jesus, which you have not experienced. You have no revelation of the blood. That's why you sing from the head. Dr. Ron Kenoly and I were talking. I'm trying to help you. Dr. Ron Kenoly and I were talking a few days ago. And we had the same conversation some time ago. I said, Dr. Ron, what is the secret of the songs going up to the higher place? The song is still relevant. What is the secret of the songs you sang in the 80s, 90s, and they are still relevant? He said, Pastor Sam, we go to the Holy of Holies to get them. He said, the problem with this generation is that they sing from the outer court. I said, sir, can you tell me a little bit more, sir? It was recently he just told me. He said himself and Tom Brooks. Yes. You will like this one. He said, God gives me the songs. Tom Brooks is given the instrumentation. Listen to this, sir. He said, we will travel to somewhere like Miami. We will lock ourselves in a hotel. And he said, for 5 days, we will be in prayer and fasting until we're able to come up with the lyrics and the instrumentation. Everything that we'll bring out comes from the place of prayer. You wonder why those songs last, and the ones our younger generation are singing don't last, because they are watching Mickey Mouse when they are raised and developing their song. Mickey Mouse, okay. They hear a sound from Mickey Mouse. Well, I can change that Mickey Mouse sound and make it like sing like gospel. This Naira Marley song, this thing, they buzz everywhere. Maybe I'll just change the beats more, add gospel lyrics, you know? So the song fades away with what brings it their way. When a preacher preaches from books you read, it will show. When a preacher preaches from copying other people's message, it will show. When a preacher preaches accidentally, when you just rush here and there, you just on your way to the ministration, you just, oh my God, I'm preaching tomorrow. Then you wake up overnight, it will show. It will show. Services rendered from altars that had no sacrifice, it will show. Altars are spiritual banks. Please write that down. Altars are spiritual banks. Like the cloud, they receive your decrees. They receive your utterances. They receive your words, your intercessions. The ones that you utter in the secret place. Altars are like spiritual banks. The words you speak don't die. Men may not hear them, but they are received in the secret. Altars are spiritual banks. The words that you speak, sir, when you are in the place of prayer, beyond your lifetime, your children will be walking into what their fathers prayed about in the closet. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you why you need to have an altar life. You are making deep investments for your lifetime. Hey, hear me well. Sir, there are prayers we pray now so that in our 60s and 70s, when there's no more strength to pray, we are making a download of what we've already deposited. Am I talking to somebody here? That's why it's like a cloud. When we are praying, we are sending the cloud. We are sending water. We are sending something into the heavens. When the hour comes when we cannot send anything up, then you begin to have the rain coming down. The rain of all the things we have declared in our lifetime. Have you seen children who don't fast, don't pray much, but when they speak, miracles happen? That is why you never compare yourself with American kids from Christian homes. Sir, you can't compare yourself with Ora Roberts. Ora Roberts Jr., his son. Because his father had made deposits in the heavens that generations to come will be reaping from. I want to help you here today. How are you going to compare yourself with the Kenneth Hagin Juniors? Their father has spoken in tongues for hours in his prayer closet. The man has made deposits in the realms of the spirit. Mike Murdoch doesn't pray as much as, you know, his father. I went to his father's personal prayer room. So the moment you enter, dark, play me. You need to get there. The moment you enter Mike Murdoch's father's prayer room, sir, an awe will come on you to kneel down. I say this under God. Nobody told me to kneel down. As I entered the place, you could sense presence. You could sense investment. On my own, I went on my knees. And the staff that came with me, they didn't know when they went on their knees. And right there, sir, they began to prophesy over my life. One after the other, they started prophesying. So when you see Mike Murdoch having the result he's having, hello, sir. When you see Billy Graham's son having the result he's having, their fathers, where were you when Billy Graham went to Modesto with Beverly Shee and they entered into a hotel and spent days in the hotel and came out with what they call Modesto Manifesto? Pastor Sunday, we all went to Modesto together. They spent time in the presence of God. I'm telling you that altar life is inconveniencing. But the price you pay to develop an altar now will make you rest in the future. I am working in the harvest of some things I prayed about years ago. There are men who are listening to me here who were there years ago when I was saying some things into the atmosphere. At that time, my mouth was too big. At that time, I was so arrogant. I didn't even know why I allowed the environment there to condition the things I should have said. Because I thought the ones I was saying were too much. I will take some time, Pastor Shim. I will wake up in the morning and I will go to the camp, the school chapel, 5 a.m., 4 a.m., spend time, hours in prayer, come back and go to school, Azari, come back and go to school, 2 p.m. in the afternoon, come back, when my mates are going to rest, and there is nothing wrong with rest, I will carry my journal, and I will trek 45 minutes into the bush, under a tree, and I will kneel down on sand, so that I don't sleep. And begin to pray. Praying about what, sir? Not car, not education, nothing. Father, what is your purpose for my life? What is your plan for my future? And as God is speaking, I'm writing. As God is speaking, I'm writing. Altars are like spiritual banks. Like the cloud, they receive the decrees, the intercession, the words that we speak in the secret, they release the result in the public. Yes. And the result happens in your lifetime and beyond your lifetime. Ah, altar life is like plowing the ground. Never an easy job, sir. When you are praying, as a teenager, sir, I would spend time be praying concerning life, concerning ministry, concerning purpose, concerning not falling. Just praying. Sometimes you just spend time groaning in the spirit. You don't even know what you are groaning about. Sister Mary, Martha, kindly stand up. These two precious women are not adults today. They can tell you, Pastor, in the early days, I'm talking about 94, 95. Sir, an average young man around me then, what he wants to do is to pray 9 hours. I will enter a place. Well, thank you, ma'am. We will lock up ourselves in that room. And Pastor, begin to pray until the sweat of your body. So it's not with prophetic prayer hour. Prophetic prayer hour is a small place to express prayer grace. That's why when we start praying on prophetic prayer, our Pastor Raymond can tell you. Sometimes I'm like, before you know, we are still doing Thanksgiving times. If I'm to do Thanksgiving, we will spend that 1 hour in prophetic prayer hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can take us 1 hour. Because in between one thank you, Jesus, and another thank you, Jesus, revelation is powering it. Spend hours in the place of prayer. Sir, we don't leave until the place is drenched with sweats. And you see the floor with water. I will never forget one day, Pastor James, Pastor Akubo. On a Sunday, I went to church. And when I was there, Pastor James is in Delta. Akubo is in Port Harcourt. They're all pastors. I went to church to minister. And I came back in the evening. In the afternoon, towards mid past afternoon. And Pastor James came and met me and said, sir, we need food to eat. I said, what happened? He said, we didn't go to church. He said, sir, we lock up ourselves. I want to pray 9 hours like you. He says, about when we started, 2-3 hours, he said, we got tired. He said, Akubo then said to God, Akubo said, God, give me what you've given to Pastor Sam. And anyone who knew Akubo then, truly speaking, Akubo began to tap into what God has given me by revelation. And God said to him, I will not give you what I've given to him, but I will give you something. So what I'm saying is that this young man desired something more deeper to pray. Pray now so that you can play later. My bishop told me the same. Bishop Abiy, you say, Pastor Sam, you are moving into your season of consolidation. It's intensified prayer. He said, now I don't fast like I used to fast. He said, I'm reaping the harvest of the ones I have done. Have you seen Bishop Abiy's children? I think in 1 year, almost 3 children got married. Am I correct, sir? In 1 year, sir, 3 children got married, sir. All of them children of God. All these children of God. The boys, pastors. It happens by accident. Try that kind of accident. Please, I'm inviting you to something precious. I can preach you happy, but I'm giving you secrets. I was watching recently, sir, Pastor Matthew Ashimolo called his son and ordained his son Toby to take over as resident pastor too. I said, this man knows something. Their children are just walking into the harvest of the investment of prayer that their parents have made. When you hear Isaac Oyedepo speak, when you hear David Oyedepo speak, you will know this man have labored in the place of prayer. That is why those of us who are following must, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. We must be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. We must follow in their footsteps. If all you do now, young man, if all you are doing now, instead of investing into your altar life, if all you are doing now is watching movie, drinking, smoking, looking good, barbing hair, sir, he that sows to the flesh shall reap from the flesh. And what shall he reap? Death. What are you sowing into? What are you sowing into? Listen carefully. I want to don't forget, I said altars hear voices. Altars are like spiritual banks. When you speak, you invest into them. At an appointed time, you will make a withdrawal. Let me give an example. This will open your eyes. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. And then I'll be leading you to prayer. O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born. Wait a minute, Pastor. Who is this person talking to? You are not hearing me. Who is this person talking to? He cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child by the name Josiah shall be born to the house of David. This is somebody talking to an altar, giving perfect description. On you he shall sacrifice a priest of the high places, who burn incense on you, and man's bone shall be born on you. Sir, this is somebody talking to an altar. It will amaze you to know that this was spoken to the altar, my sister. The word spoken to this altar did not take effect until 200 years after. How many years? The altar held on to the words. And exactly 200 years after, sir, born to the house of David. Did it happen by coincidence that the child was born, and on his naming day they called him Joshua? And when the time came, Athaliah had been taken out of the equation. He had become king. And the first thing he thought about doing was to actually gather the bones of, and did exactly what was said. What was controlling his actions? The altar. I wanted to open your eyes to something. Do you know you can register on the altar of your house what your children will do in the future? Do you know that you can tell October on your altar what October will look like? So when I tell you during prophetic prayer, I will command your morning. Speak to Monday, speak to Tuesday. Some of you are like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It sounds like it's an exercise. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Pastor Sam, people could talk to you. Wait till they tell you that. Oh, I don't even want to. Second Kings chapter 23 and verse 15 to verse 18 will show you 200 years later what was said to an officer. Or Josiah carried it out back to the letter. When Josiah finished carrying out what was said to the altar, somebody then came to say that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet of God. In your altar life, in the place of prayer, you can begin to decide, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. My son David, you will serve the Lord. My son David, when you get to the time of marriage, you will not pick the bone of another. You will not pick the flesh of another woman, of another man. You will not pick the bone of another man. My son David, when the time comes for you to make this kind of decision in your lifetime, these are the things that will happen. You can schedule his future on the altar. And the boy will wake up and find himself just making those decisions. Are you hearing me, sir? 200 years later. Sir, you can program February and say, February, as I step into the month of February, favor I unlock you. Help us, I call you. Destiny begins to walk. Speed begins to happen. You can begin to speak in your closet. And February will align with your words. You have left your life to chance. That is why chance is chancing you. Ask those who have altar lives. They will tell you, this was what I prayed about. That is happening now. The things they said in their secret. No wonder he said, what you say in the secret, what your father seeth in the secret, what you do in the secret shall be brought. It must happen first in the altar before it happens in real life. Mama, you can carry your school, ma. Yes, you can put your school in the altar and begin to decide no child will be buried in this school. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? I want to speak to CEOs. You can carry your enterprise and put it on the altar and begin to speak concerning your enterprise and say, you enterprise, Alpha Ketchum Limited, you will do business in millions. You will do business in millions. You will do business in millions. You will do business in dollars. You will do business in millions across the nations. Do you know you can begin to speak to 40? You can begin to speak to 50. Pastor Shell, what is 50 going to look like? Atanosia Lakote Brandesia. Sir, people went to ask the man Kenneth Copeland. They say, Kenneth Copeland, he's 80. I think he's about 80 something now. Maybe 80 or thereabout. 80. It's around his 80. They asked Kenneth Copeland, what is your secret? You know what he said? He said, from the beginning, he said, I speak to every member of my body. He said, I will tell my eyes, you'll be seen at 80. I'll tell my brain, you'll be walking at 80. I will tell my legs, you'll be strong at 80. He said, I am as strong today as I said. You know why you are reaping nothing now? Because you said nothing then. You know why you're not seeing results today? Because you said nothing then. There are ladies under the sound of my voice. As the oil of God comes upon your head today, you are going to open your mouth and you will begin to declare, when I'm 30, I will be married. When I'm 32, I will have my first child. At 34, I will have my second child. At 36, I will have my third child. You can schedule your future on the altar. I can see people praying around. Shebaranosia lamanteka, eramanos katosia, lekoponta pratosia, redabando braketezi, hatalanzo la keskapa, shibariandosa. Let me open your eyes to something. The Bible makes us understand that Jesus Christ, when he died and was buried, and the Bible says he rose again, and the angel of the Lord sat upon the stone. The Bible said when the women came, you know what the angel said? The angel said, he has risen as he has spoken. He has risen as he has spoken. He has risen as he has spoken. He has risen as he said it before. Am I talking to somebody? Take it down a bit. He has risen as he has spoken. The reason is risen is because he said it. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Pastor, I used to think, what does he got to do on the mountain? Do you think it's just about praying for the sick? I don't think so, sir, because that's not too much compelling reason why Jesus should be on the mountain. Do you think Jesus was on the mountain praying all night so that he can cast out a devil he's already been anointed to cast out? So I think that is too small a reason. Sir, I can submit to you that one of the major reasons is that he spent all time, all night, because we saw in Gethsemane later that what he battled with in Gethsemane may be what he struggled with all night. Am I talking to somebody here? Saying, Father, when I get to the cross, I will die. I will be buried. But on the third day, I'm coming out. On the third day, I'm coming out. I will meet with death, but I will overcome. I will meet with failure, but I will overcome. I will meet with disappointment, but I will overcome. Somebody shout a yes. Let that river flow out of you. Let that river flow out of you. Let that river flow out of you. My God, how great you are. Listen, before he met with death, he decided the outcome. He decided the outcome. He said, when I meet with death, he said, sir, there must be so much about what he does in the night. And it can show, it shows. Because you will notice Jesus will just be talking. And the next thing he will say, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. That is what preoccupied his mind. Devils were not his concern. He was deciding outcomes before the season came. Somebody's going to decide, I'm going to give you, listen, you are free to pray, Heavenly Father, you know, Heavenly Father, you can pray like that too. And Emma shall be under. But if I were you, I want to decide outcomes. Before he died, he said, I will rise. Am I talking to somebody here? I want some persons who are serious. If you want to come to the altar and join me to pray here, I'd like you to come with your mantle, come with your clothes, come with your prayer shawl, put it on yourself and begin to decide. And begin to decide. Come on, say something. Begin to decide. Open your mouth and pray. And say, my father, in February, I will see plenty. In March, I will see increase. In April, I will see surplus. In May, I will see increase. Open your mouth and begin to pray like someone who understands the power of altar. Make your deposit. Deposit what you want to see. Open your mouth and declare. praying. Sopranosicat. Lebrasosiata. Open your mouth and say, my Father, in the month of March, in the month of April, in the month of May, in the month of June, decide the outcome. Death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. Ratopendoziata. Shalemantarabasa. Rato Belsofia, Shalamonte la Brasa, Recatesia, Rebasofia Zapros, Lecatenda la Basadia, my God and my Father, let our altars be repaired, let our altars be repaired, Ratabosiata, Lebrasovelcata, Shevarianos Cata. Parents, begin to speak the future of your children. Hey, Makata, oh my altar, oh my altar, hear ye the word of the Lord. There cometh a boy by the name David. I speak over your altar. He will serve the Lord. He will honor the Lord. There cometh a girl. Her name is Darylin. She will serve the Lord. She will honor the Lord. The voice of a stranger, she will not obey. She will not taste evil. She will not drink evil. The spirit of a Nazarite rests upon them. Is watching online, and the Lord is saying, open your mouth and decide the outcome. People are praying on the altar here. In Jesus' name, sir. God bless you all. Please, God bless you. Now, I want you to take your prayer to another level. I'm going to repeat something I said. I'm sure you've not heard that before. Hear me, hear me well. I said, a man said, oh altar, oh altar. Your place of prayer in your room is your altar. You too can pray like that. Oh altar, oh altar. I'm going to get a job next month. Oh altar, oh altar, let the interview. Listen, you are not hearing me. I feel like jumping. Sit down and decide what the committee will do. Oh altar, oh altar, as I appear before the committee, they shall like me. As I appear before the committee, they shall favor me. The lion among them shall become a lamb when I show up. The most wicked among them shall serve the purpose of God. Oh altar, I'm going to the embassy. I know they are rejecting men, but I cannot be rejected. Oh altar, I'm about to present my proposal. As I go, I shall be the preferred. Open your mouth. You will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. I speak to everyone watching online. You will never be the same again. I speak to Catherine online. I speak to Kellyanne online. I speak to Mercy again. I speak to Lynn Emmanuel. I speak to everyone online. From today, what you say, you will see. Okay, I've not finished. I ain't got time. Don't miss tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. These are the kind of meetings in those days that they just continue. Until God is done with us, we just continue. Hear me and hear me well now. Don't miss this. I said something, sir. I said the man said, "Oh altar, oh altar." He said, "Listen." He said, there's a man coming. And he told the altar the name of the man that will be born 200 years later. He said, that man shall be born to the house of David. This is almost like arranging by force what must happen. Sisters are not catching it. Single brothers are not catching it. You can actually schedule your husband into your life with this kind of prayer. Oh altar, altar, there is a man coming in the spirit of Boaz. He shall come with the fear of God, responsible, blessed and highly favored. I'm not done. And pastor, when he finished declaring, there is one coming, his name shall be Josiah. He said what the man will do. So a man has not been born. You are deciding what he will do. You are not catching this. I said a man you have not yet met. In fact, you will not be alive when the man will be born. But you are putting on record what he will do. And it came to pass 200 years later. Did you hear what I said? How many years later? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Open your mouth. Listen, this is not the time to talk to mama, 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 mama. You will speak clearly. You will say, Father, in the month of May. Father, in the month of December. Father, in 5 years' time. Father, in 10 years' time. When you are 60, you will not be on walking stick. When you are 70, you will not be on wheelchair. Somebody pray and say, Father, I receive the stamina to walk on my altar. I receive consistency in my altar life. No more prayerlessness. No more laziness. No more lukewarmness. Name, we'll pray. Thank you. We'll have to let you go. Father, all I need is your amen. Father, I come before your throne and I lift up this oil before you and I ask that this oil cease from its chemical composition. Let this oil carry on the essence of the moment, transferring the words that are spoken, that by the mystery of this oil your altar life is revived. I didn't hear that amen. Your altar life is revived. From today, receive the grace to stay your altar, to walk on your altar, to pray like never before. Receive such grace. Laziness is gone. Procrastination is gone. Lukewarmness is gone. Hear me and hear me well. From today, whatever you utter in your secret place, whatever you declare, that your altar hears in the private, you will see the result in the public. You will see the result in the public. Your Father who hears you in the secret shall reward you publicly. By the mystery of this oil, every door that you have tried to enter before, that the devil has locked up, every Jericho door, gates that have been shut against you, by the mystery of this oil coming on your head, gates be opened. I'm not hearing you. I said gates be opened. Gates of nations be opened. Gates of the marketplace be opened. Gates of wealth be opened. Doors of wealth be opened. Doors and gates 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 be opened. By the mystery of this oil coming on your life, and all of you watching online, place your hand on the screen. By the mystery of this oil, I hear the Lord say to me, you will not see rain. You will not see rain. You will not see wind. But your ditches will be filled. Can I declare it one more time over your life? Other men will labor. God will give you their harvest. I said other men will labor. God will give you their harvest. From today, by the mystery of this oil, I decree and I declare that you will not labor for another to eat. You will not invest for another to reap. You will not build for another to inhabit. You will no more labor in vain. Prosper everywhere you go. Prosper in the city. Prosper in the house. Prosper in the office. Prosper in the marketplace. Prosper when you turn to the right. Prosper when you turn to the left. If you receive a shout, a big amen. Father, we thank you. As this oil is poured out, let your children begin to walk into supernatural wonders. In the name of Jesus, I pour this oil out and I decree that wonders will follow you. Oh, altar, altar, hear the voice of the Lord. Let everyone upon whom this oil comes, let their lives be transported into the realms of wonders, signs and wonders, into the realms of favor. That realm you are brought into from today, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, our God and our Father. Please, I'd like you, those of you at the front, if you want to stay at the front, however you want to do, kindly do. My pastors will take the oil across and they will minister to you. We'll continue tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for those who are watching online. I want to pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone watching online, why is the people in the house have been anointed? If you are watching online, you live in the city of Abuja. This is a prophetic instruction. Tomorrow is Friday. You have no reason why you should be home. Find your way down here tomorrow. The Bible says on the last day of the feast, on that very last day, Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come. Come is the word. Can I pray for everybody watching online? Why some of you have been anointed, and please, as you have been anointed, make sure that you begin to pray and declare with your mouth, the things that I declare in my closet, I will see in the public. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, begin to declare what you want to see in the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead and begin to play as we minister to everybody watching online. If you are watching online, I'd like you to place your hand on the screen in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everyone watching online, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I shall announce for you that from this moment and from this altar, I speak over your life and I decree and declare that from today, the things you have declared in the place of prayer, in the months gone by, the things you have asked God, in the years gone by, you will begin to walk in their reality. You will begin to see them happen. You will begin to see wonders everywhere you turn. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak to doors to open up to everyone watching online. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak fire on your altar, power on your life, and we decree turnarounds in your lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Please, if you're watching online, go ahead and just begin to open your mouth and pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, glory and praise be to the mighty God whom we serve. Hallelujah. Go ahead.